We're in Daniel chapter 1, and what a book Daniel is. Now, I have 8 jokes I've been telling for as long as I can remember. I can tell, I've already had requests for the goat joke. If you will let me wait until tonight, I will tell the goat joke tonight. I feel like it could ruin the spirit of a Sunday morning service. I don't know what was come on worthy about what I just said. I'm not going to crawl on your head and sort that out. So I don't have to stand on its own. I left my water over here. Some people say I can't hold my water, but I am apparently able to do that for short bits of time. I have jokes about outhouses. I have jokes about pharmacies. I have jokes about chili food items. I got all kinds of jokes. Anybody that's here that's heard one of them, if you want one not named the goat joke, you can ask for it now and I will tell it and we'll do that. If nobody requests anything, my feelings won't be hurt. I have told these. They say R.G. Lee preached Payday Someday like 7,500 times or something like that. They also say that most statistics are made up on the spot. But if you don't get why those two statements go together, then I don't mind that at all. But if you've heard any of my jokes and you want to hear one of them, I'll take a request from the floor. Does anybody have one that you want? Okay, going once, going twice. Yes, sir. Look, no, I said the. Every time I go to agricultural communities, all they want is livestock. Stop. Do it tonight. Cannibals, pharmacies, chili. Cannibals. Oh, all right, I know my crowd now. There's so many cannibal jokes. It's like a whole drawer in my head of cannibal jokes. And here we are in a Sunday morning service contemplating that. But did you hear about the cannibal that ordered pizza with everybody on it? How did the cannibal's wife know, or husband know, that his wife was upset? She gave him the cold shoulder. That's neither here nor there. All right, those are better than the one I'm about to tell. There is this father cannibal, and it sounds like a priest to a cannibal tribe, father cannibal. So there is this father cannibal, and he's teaching his son to hunt. And man, we had to be done by 11:35. We need to hurry. And they're on this little bend in the pathway, and a skinny guy comes running by, and the little boy says to his dad, "Dad, let's get him and eat him." And he says, "Now don't laugh yet. It's not funny yet. Give it a minute." He said, "Dad, let's get him and eat him." He said, "No, son, there's not enough meat on him for the both of us. Be patient." "Okay, Dad." This big fat guy, is that proper? Over-upholstered, gravitationally challenged, large man comes running by. He said, "Dad, his eyes are wide. Dad, let's get him and eat him." He goes, "No, son. If we eat him, we'll die of a heart attack. That's nothing but cholesterol with legs. Be patient." The little boy's like, "Okay." This pretty girl comes running down the trail. And the little boy says, "Dad, let's get her and eat her." And he says, "No, son. We're going to take her home and eat your mom." And that's terrible. So very, I can't believe you talked me into telling that joke on a Sunday morning. An evangelist would know better than to do that, but I'm not going to be one of those until tonight. Daniel chapter 1. My name is Jay Reed. I pastor the Peachtree Road Baptist Church in Suwanee, Georgia, about a half an hour north of Atlanta. Given traffic, it could be 2. But it is a blessing to be here. I've been friends with Brother Jerry. I preached with him at a youth conference in Arlington, Texas about 20 years ago. And 21 years ago. And then he preached several youth conferences with me. We've shared pulpits. I've preached here. He's preached for us several times. And just one of my dearest friends. And Everybody needs someone that challenges him. And when it comes to pastoring and vision, Brother Jerry Ross challenges me. It's not just by what he says here, it's how he lives his life. And you are blessed people to have him as your preacher. This is a difficult time he's going through. You share that with him, but carry him in your hearts. And whenever I'm talking to staff members, I'm talking to leaders in the church, I'm talking to people in the church, he may not be able to be here as much as he'd like, but always ask yourself the question, what would the preacher like done? Okay, just because he's not here doesn't mean this isn't the ministry God gave to him. And he's accountable to God for how he runs this ministry, and he's in touch with the Lord. And so you'd be wise to, and I'm not talking to anybody that would think about doing that, but just as a cautionary note, he's the pastor of the church. And again, I don't think I need to say that, but I did. So make sure, leaders, that you do it the way he would. There's an old saying, and it's stupid, but it's true. It says, when the cat's away, the mice will play. Well, he's not a cat and you're not mice, so don't do that, all right? All right, Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. I have been sick since COVID, just like you are. I think I'm on COVID 11 now. Thought Rambo had a lot of sequels. Goodness. I don't have anything right now. Some of you are like, I shook his head. No, no, no. I don't have anything. I tell my people when, you know, there's stuff going around, which is all the time now, I said, don't shake hands and lick your fingers. Like, oh, preacher, we wouldn't do that. But, you know, handshaking time. They're like, hey, how you doing? They're like, turn in your Bibles. They're like, don't shake hands and lick fingers. All right, I got some people looking at me like, when are you going to preach, pal? All right, now. All right, here we go. Daniel chapter 1, let's stand and we'll read a few verses and we'll get into the message this morning. The title, if you're into writing those things down, now that you're standing and don't have your pen, Daniel chapter 1 is the testings of Daniel and his friends. The testings of Daniel and his friend. You call the testing the trials. The testing of Daniel and his friend. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought, notice, big G for the God of Israel, little g for the God of Babylon. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Asphanaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he would bring certain of the children of Israel, of whom the king's seed and the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace and unto whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed to them a daily provision of the king's meat and the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names for unto Daniel, or he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, unto Hananiah, Shadrach, unto Mishael, Meshach, and unto Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The testing of Daniel and his friends. Father in heaven, bless us this morning as we look in the scriptures. The Bible has the answers that we need. It has the encouragement. It has the reproof. It has the rebuke that is necessary for every message preached. And so I pray, where we're down and we need to be lifted up, that you would exhort. Lord, I pray, where we're lifted up and we need to be down, I pray that you would rebuke.
And then, Lord, in that middle ground of the mind, I pray that you would cement into our thinking biblical principles. May we live by the truth of this book. May it be in all of our thoughts. May we make decisions according to the precepts found in Scripture. Spirit of God, please fill me. Help me to be a blessing to people this morning. Bless my friend, Brother Jerry. I pray that you would restore him to full health and strength. Oh God, we need him here and across the country. Bless him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As I read through the book of Daniel recently, a new light of focus shone on its pages. I still saw Daniel as I had seen it before, as a challenging book, as an inspirational book, and as a deeply prophetic book. But as I read each page this last time, I was stricken with this thought. Daniel is a book of testing and trial. It seems as if Daniel and his three friends are regularly being thrust into one difficult test after another. We love the stories, but they weren't easy on Daniel or his three friends. They were hard. The Bible tells us in the book of James that Elijah was a man of like passions. Well, so was Daniel. And so was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These were trials of their faith. They were difficult. The outcome is certain to us because we're reading it looking that way, but they were living going this way very much by faith, not knowing what would happen in these instances. Many of the decisions that they undertook could have cost them their life, and not an easy death either. But it's a book of trials and testing. There's an old saying that untried faith is untrue faith. Well, Daniel and his three friends needn't have worried about their faith, for it was tried and tested with great frequency. As I began to think in terms of the testings and trials of the book of Daniel, I began to consider that our own lives are a series of tests and trials as well. We all have gone through, are going through, or will shortly go through some sort of trial of our faith. And some of those trials become fiery trials. I was a preacher down south that said, every once in a while, the devil shows up and sets your trials on fire. The Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which are to try as though some strange thing will happen. We all go through it, folks. There's a tendency in all of us to look at other people and say, well, they've got it easy. Nobody gets through this thing easy. It's because they don't wear their problems on their sleeves doesn't mean they don't have them. Some of them are more visible. What your preacher's going through right now is impossible to hide. He has to be out of the pulpit. And if we didn't tell you what was going on, you'd assume gambling, but he's not. If you're watching the live stream, I love you, brother. I really do. I'm really sorry about that joke. I know you'd be back there going, goodness sakes, Jay, goodness sakes, what are you doing? But we're all going through it. Well, we did. Or we're about to.
Right.
All right. This life is... Jacob, after living 147 years, said, few and evil the days of my pilgrimage. Well, if 147 is few and evil, then, you know, 80 is few and evil too. It's just more compressed.
Right.
These trials that we go through are not all the same in scope and duration, but they keep on coming throughout the whole course of our life. How we deal with them is the measure of how well we lived out our journey here below. Pass the test, pass the trial, equals well done, good and faithful servant. Fail the tests, fail enough of them, right? And it's not well done. Listen, most people are not going to get to heaven and be surprised if they hear well done or not. You know how you're living. And I'll just say this, you're not going to hear well done if it's not been done well. Okay? So yes, these trials that you go through are very much a measurement. They're a test. Those of you that grew up in my era, right? This is only a test. This is a test. And you're being graded. What we love about Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, or Shadrach, it's amazing that Daniel keeps his identity. Most people don't call him Belteshazzar, but most people call his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I don't know why that happened, but it did. Maybe Daniel was like, they're like, Belteshazzar. He said, Daniel. You know, he's one of those people. Don't call me that. And maybe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't fond of Hananiah. That's a girl's name, you know, whatever. I don't know. Shadrach sounds much more. I don't know. You don't know. Don't pretend like you know. We have Bible scholars in every crowd, and they're like, I know. They really don't know. They just look like that. You weren't there. Every time the scripture focuses its lens on these extraordinary men, they're getting it right. They're passing each test with flying colors. Ships, when they can't used to come in, sailing ships, when they come back into port, they'd be out for months at a time, sometimes the better part of a year, they'd be out, and there was no radio or wireless for them to send word back into the port about whether or not to celebrate the coming back or that there was trouble. And so what they would do is they would hoist colors up on, you know, the main mast, the mizzen mast, and, you know, they'd run a halyard up with the colors on it. And a ship that would come back into port with lots of colors, with what we would call flying colors, that was a port that had a successful journey, or a ship that had a successful journey. The port didn't go anywhere. Don't you want to finish this thing with flying colors? Don't pretend that you don't. Well, I just want to go to heaven. Yeah, but you're going to meet Jesus. Don't you want to meet him hearing, well done, good and faithful servant? All right, let me give you three very fast trials. They didn't happen quickly, but I'm going to give you three, and I'll give you three where I'll slow the roll down. There are six of these points, but I'm an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, temperamental Baptist. So we can only do 3 points. Let me just give you, usually this is a two-part series, but I'm doing something special tonight. Okay, here's the first test. Are you ready? Number one is the faith test. Do you really believe what you say you do? Daniel and his friends are thrust into a new environment. Everybody's eating the new food, drinking the new wine. Everybody's speaking in the new language. Everybody's just embracing culture. Boy, isn't that what they tell us to do? Yeah, you need to embrace culture. And Daniel has a choice to make. Do you really believe? Listen, we say we believe things, but if our life and our lips don't agree, then that's hypocrisy. Don't be long on lip and short on living. Practice what you say you believe. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would. And it wasn't an easy thing. He went to Ashpenaz. He had been brought into tender favor with this leader of the eunuchs. He had been brought into tender favor with him. And he went and asked him, and Ashpenaz says, "Nah, I can't help you." So he goes to an underling named Meltzar and says, "Look, can we have 10 days to prove us?" Listen, sometimes when we hear no, we think, well, I guess it's not God's will. Listen, if God's word is God's will, and if the first no or the first answer is no, stay with it. There may be a yes on the other side. And Daniel couldn't convince the leader, but he convinced an underling to, hey, give us a chance on this. Let us eat pulse and let us drink water. Daniel stood up for his beliefs. We need to stand up for what we believe. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to live it. Live out what you believe. So that's the faith test. Do you really believe it? Number two is the friend test. The friend test. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream and no one can interpret it. And so he decides his solution to that is kill them all. Boy, he loved doing that. That's his favorite. Chop them up in little pieces and make their house a dunghill. That was his favorite thing to say. And I purposed in my heart, that's the kind of boss I want to be. It's not true, but it would be fun, right? The beatings will continue until morale improves. And so Daniel realizes, I'm going to get killed in this roundup of wise men. And he calls together Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and they have an all-night prayer meeting, and the Lord reveals the dream to Daniel. He doesn't reveal it to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He reveals it to Daniel. And so Daniel goes before the king and says, hey, king, before you kill everybody, let me tell you what your dream is. And the king is amazed. Daniel displays wisdom that no one else has, prescience that no one else has, a connection to the holy God no one else has. And the king promotes him on the spot. Now Daniel's got a choice to make. Because, see, the king doesn't know yet about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these are Daniel's friends. They're the reason Daniel is where he is. They're part of the reason. They've made an investment in prayer. God gave him the answer, but they prayed with him. He's being promoted. What's he going to do? Is he going to get new friends?
Or his old friend's going to be an embarrassment. I'm going to call the second test the friend test. Listen, when you practice biblical principles, you're going to move up at work. But listen, and you're going to be promoted in life. And maybe you're going to be in a better economic status than your parents and some of the other people at church. What are you going to do with those friends that help you get where you are? I used to meet people at college and they would outgrow their parents. Listen, don't ever outgrow your parents. Don't outgrow your friends. So many people experience success and they think, well, I need a new successful group to go with that. I'm not for you having bad friends, but the Bible says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Let's call this the friend test. Those people that you step on sometimes on the way up are the people you're going to need mercy from on the way back down. You know, the thing about having friends for a long time, they keep you grounded because they knew you when. The friend test. What are you going to do with your friends? The third test is the fire test. All right, y'all believe it, but just how much? This is a thing of degree, and I hate to use the pun degree when we're dealing with the fiery furnace, but the degrees were there. This is, if you stand up, you're going to die horribly. So kneel. The fire test. Is your faith in God worth dying for? And it seems so strange to us because we live in this incredible country with all its wonderful freedom, right? But boy, the annals of history of Christianity are full of people that paid with what Lincoln called the last full measure of devotion for their faith. Why should we believe any less? Missionary Troll paid for his faith. And we think, that's unusual. And I'm glad we have this freedom that we do here, but should our devotion be any less? Should I be carried through the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Do I need it easy? Do I need 70 degrees and comfortable Christianity? I looked at the thermostat over there. The thermostat has two settings on it. We don't want it to get too cold and we don't want it to get too hot. And yet, even if the building is 68.5 degrees, there are still people that are too hot and too cold. I mean, we have determined over years of experience exactly what the best temperature to make the most people happy. And as Americans, we're like, no, I'm not. What if our faith cost us? The fire test. All right, so we've got the faith test. We got the friend test, the fire test. All right, those are the first three. Are you ready? Let's take a minute on the next one. Turn, if you would, to chapter 4, Daniel chapter 4. We're going to call this the fear test. And under that, we're going to ask this question. What do I tell the king? What do I tell the king? Brother, when did we start? Was it about 10:38-ish? 10:35? Okay, all right. I want to be done on time. That's important. Those of you in Sunday school, like, I know what you're saying, and it's meaningless. Your lips are moving, but there's no substance there. What do they call those artificial sweeteners? Non-caloric something or other. That is, there's no content in what I just said. I really do want to be done on time. All right, Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar gets another dream. And of course, no one knows it. In verse 18, he finally gets back to who he knew all along could solve the puzzle in his mind. He says, now Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able. He knew. Isn't it amazing? The world doesn't need Christians until they need Christians, right? The NFL says you can't kneel before a game and pray, but if someone gets gravely injured on the field, all of a sudden everybody can pray. We're putting signs up that says, please pray. Yes. The world thinks, this nation thinks of Christianity as the spare tire, right? Pull out in case of emergencies. Now, you shouldn't think like that, right? God's not a rabbit's foot. He should fill all
the horizon for you. But the king realized, all right, Daniel, you know, I've hit another one of those spots in the road where only you can help, right? But in verse 19, we find Daniel in a bad spot. He's astonished for an hour. Why? Because the interpretation is not good. He finally comes out and just says, my Lord, the dream, on the end of verse 19 there, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thine enemies. This ain't good news, King. This is bad news. So what's Daniel going to tell the king? Do I become the bad messenger? You know, Nebuchadnezzar has a history of killing the messenger. He's the ultimate brutal dictator in history. He's a bad guy. Is Daniel going to tell him the truth? Is Daniel going to tell the king that the problem is you're wicked living, king, and God's about to judge you? I mean, that's what Nathan did with David, but David's at least, you know, David's a believer in God. David's a follower of God. He's backslidden right now, but at least David has this foundation of godliness. He's not going to kill Nathan, although David's predecessor, Saul, certainly killed the men of God, did he not? He slew all the priests. No. So wait a minute. This ain't David. This is Nebuchadnezzar. He's a wicked man. And now Daniel's got to look at him and say, the problem is your vile living and God's about to judge you. What's he going to do? And I think for the first time in a long time, Daniel felt fear. Man, what am I going to tell this guy? He said, he didn't fear. Bible says he was astonished for an hour. It took him an hour to work up the nerve to tell him. Listen to me, friend. We got a message that's not popular in this world. What are we going to do about that? Why can we talk about everything but Jesus? We can talk about the weather. We can talk about politics. We can talk about gun rights. We can talk about abortion. We can talk about all manner of things. What's wrong with the Colts? What's right with the Colts? Will Indiana basketball ever be great again? I don't know. Will Larry Bird come back to French Lick? I don't know. Does he have a house there? I don't know. I've never been down to French Lick. He was the hick from French Lick. I don't think he ever went back. But we can talk about everything, can't we? Meanwhile, our society decays around us and we're like, everybody in the world's coming out of the closet and the Christians are like, I don't know if I should say anything. You know what you have right now that's being taken away from you? Freedom of speech. You need to speak up. You have just as much right to say what's on your heart as they do. You know why that freedom's being taken away? Because Christians have been so quiet for so long. Go along, get along, go along. Well, it's not that bad. It's not. Well, I don't like it, but it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. It is that bad, and now we're not saying anything. Why? Because we're used to not saying anything. We're fearful. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. Hey, Christians, speak up at your workplace. Hey, kids, speak up at your school. Don't be afraid to speak up. All that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And there's a lot of good people saying and doing nothing. Get your head out of the sand, Christian. We're losing our country. We're losing this Christian nation. You know why? Because we won't say anything. Well, I don't want to lose my job. We're going to lose more than your job. Well, I don't want to tell my friends they're wrong because I don't want to lose my friends. You're going to lose more than your friends. Because when you stay with them, you're going to get used to their lifestyle. It's not going to be as sinful as it used to be. And before long, you're going to be engaged in the same thing. Why in the world? And by the way, the solution is not a political solution. Let me say that right now. Lot was vexed with what was going on at Sodom. But his solution was not to tell people they were wrong. His solution was to become a politician. He sat in the gate. So he said, I'll fix the problem politically. The problem wasn't a political problem. It was a sin problem. And we're on all these political, well, this candidate's going to fix this. Listen, vote for the right people. I'm for it. I exercise my right to vote, and I vote for conservative people. Let me tell you something. The answer has never been in the White House. We get our guys elected, and it's amazing how few things change.
Christian, you're a Christian. Okay, you're an American, but you're a Christian. You're a citizen of a better country. So speak up on behalf of that country. You're an ambassador from there to here. Speak up on behalf of them. And this holy book right here, pass the fear test. Don't let fear determine what you will. The fear of man bringeth a snare. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Speak up. Speak up. The fear test. Number two, or I guess number five, depending on if you're keeping score, is the finding test. Look at Daniel chapter 10. Daniel 10. Hurry. Hurry, y'all. What in the world? You need to get to the point and stop wandering around all over the trailer park here. Stop it. Wait a minute. He's acting like it's us, but he's the one preaching. I know. Just seeing if you're paying attention. Daniel chapter 10 and verse number 12. We're going to find the finding test. The finding test. How far would I go to find out what God knows? Let me ask you a question. Let me just set it up this way. Does God have information that you need? Okay. Will he share that with you? Sure, right? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. God is willing to share his wisdom with you. Do you know one of the biggest problems in the local church? And I'm not talking about the sin problem. I'm talking about people operating without wisdom. Boneheaded decisions. I don't know how many times I say to my wife as a pastor, man, that leader did not use wisdom there. Boy, we need wisdom. You know what you need in your home? Wisdom. You know who has that information? God. God, he has wisdom. So God has information that you need. Not only does God have wisdom, God sees the future. God knows what's around the bend. Could you use that kind of information? How many of you have made decisions and later on realized the circumstances weren't what you thought? Information became available later that would have changed how you acted back then. Let me let you in on a little secret. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow right now. God has information that you need. The whole idea of prophecy is God saying, hey, guess what's about to happen? Right? I mean, when God, I'm wandering, but let me wander for a minute. You know what God blesses Abraham? This is why the angel of the Lord's going to Sodom and Gomorrah to see if the cry is as bad as what, and God knows everything. It's weird. Work that out in your head. But I'm going to go see if it's as bad as I hear it is. The cries come up from heaven. Anyway, listen. He says, you know what? I'm going to bless Abraham. I'm going to tell him this. And this is what he says. For I know him that he will. You know what God was saying about Abraham? I'm going to bless him now because I know what he's going to do in the future. Right. I know what he's going to do. God knows what's in your future. Does he have information that you need? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. Not a trick question. Right. To what lengths will you go to get that information? The finding test. Okay? Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Then said he unto me, this is Daniel, he's fasting. He's been fasting for 21 days. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the power, or the prince of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me. That's Iran, by the way, and he's still around. Me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Listen, Daniel got an answer from the Lord on day one, but it took 21 days for the mail to get there. You know what Daniel was glad of later? That he didn't quit praying after 20. He stayed. The angel was sent where Daniel was. If he'd have left, I don't know, maybe he would have followed him. I can't tell you that. I can tell you the angel did come to where Daniel was because Daniel never moved. He just kept praying. Jesus came to his disciples. His disciples are dejected. They're embarrassed because they tried to cast out a devil and they couldn't do it. And it was very public. And they're like, Lord, why couldn't we do that? He said, because of unbelief. He said, howbeit this kind goeth not forth, but by prayer and fasting. Listen to me. There's some mountains in your life you're not going to get over and past with flying colors without prayer and fasting. There's information God has for you. There's answers to prayer that you need. And listen, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount doesn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. And that's a lost doctrine in the local church. Think of how many people there are that name the name of Christ that are Christians. All right, that's a group this big. How many of them actually pray? That's a group this big. But how many of them actually fast and pray? That's a very small group. You want God's attention? Learn to fast and pray. Does God have information that you need, Christian, that'll change the course of your life? Does he have information that'll allow you to make decisions that you'll be pleased with not only now, but in many years to come? Because he knows the circumstances down the road. Yes, he does. But is it worth praying and fasting to find out what God has for you? Albeit this kind. This kind of information goeth not forth. This kind of power goeth not forth. This kind of prescience and foresight goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. Does God have information that's worth you praying and fasting over? Boy, I talk to Baptists about not eating, and they look at me like a mule looking at a new gate. A calf looking at it. Is a calf? Mule's eating Saulbriers, calf's looking at new gates. I was working on a whole list of agricultural sayings before I came. And I got my mules and my cows mixed up. Calf looking at a new gate. Some of you have calves. I don't know how they look at new gate. It's just, but I imagine it's something like this. Oh. I worked with teenagers a long time. Teenagers wake up a new world every day. Oh. You talk about fasting and praying among the Baptists, and they're like, oh, wait, whoa. Praying's fine. Fasting, most of us look like we can miss a few meals and be okay. I saw one usher and I thought, man, that kid needs to eat right now. He's going to fall out, his metabolism so fast. His leg was thumping like a rabbit while he was taking the offering. He's got Twinkies in his wallet. But most of us, come on. I could ask you, right? Could I ask you that? When's the last time you missed a meal because you needed something from God? When ye fast. The finding test. Does God have information you need? Yes. Will we be persistent in prayer and fasting to find out what God has? Daniel passed the finding test. Here's the last one, and it should be the last one. We'll call it the finishing test. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Hurry, hurry. Minutes, mere minutes left. Mere minutes. Some of you are out there and you're saying, but preacher, I hope you go longer. And I appreciate that. I really do. That is absolutely no one saying that right now. This is such wishful thinking. All right, Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel's not young anymore. He's old. He's at least in his 80s. Maybe his 90s. He's old. You think this kind of testing, lion's den test for, you know, geriatric people? Come on, shouldn't the test be, will there be one of those electric carts at Walmart or not? That was terrible. I shouldn't have said that. I repent. Let me tell you young preachers something. Don't mess with old people. People are like, hey, I got an old church. Old churches don't, pastors don't starve. Okay, young people, there's excitement, but they don't give nothing. Just saying. Sorry, old people, seasoned citizens. But come on, he's 80. Shouldn't the testing days, should I be tested with the lion's den when I'm 80 years old? Listen to me, friend. How are you going to finish this thing? Jesus said, I came to do the work of him that sent me and to finish, or the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished. Finished. He that hath begun a good work shall perform it. God is all about you starting. He's all about you finishing. I need everybody in here to do this so we all know who we all are. Are you ready? Just waiting for somebody to cough. We got smokers? I'm not. If you participate in our little exercise, or if you didn't, but you could have, God can still use you. God didn't run out of plan just because you're a little lower on energy than you used to. They got all kinds of sayings. Preacher, I can still paint the town red. It just takes longer between coats. Can I tell you, senior saints in this room, the young people are watching you. And we didn't just start yesterday. We've been watching you all along. We've admired your faithfulness. But you need to show us how to finish. Amen. I buried some good men at my church. Some men I looked down, this is what I thought. Thank you for being faithful all the way to the end. Truth be told, Daniel could have kept praying in his house and no one would have ever known.
Right?
Yes, sir. Right? I mean, he's praying to God. What difference does it make? I bowed my head and prayed on the expressway. Bowed my head and prayed on an airplane. I don't have some special place of prayer. No, I do have a closet. I get it. Listen to me, friend. Daniel decided to finish with the same faith he started with. Hey, my gray-haired friends, white-haired friends, no-haired friends. How are you going to finish? You know what Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs? If Jesus tarries his coming. And I'll be morbid. But it needs a casket sitting right up here and the shell of someone we used to know laying in it and a bunch of people thinking he was faithful all the way to the end. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren ought to look at you like a rock. They never changed. In a changing world, they stayed true. You're going to finish your course with joy. You're going to finish your course with faithfulness. Hey, listen, I know it's not easy for you to come to church. I know it takes you an hour to get ready in the morning, but you being here matters. Watching you. Daniel's at an age he's thinking to himself, if I can borrow a Jerry Rossism, goodness sakes. What am I still doing going through this? We don't get to pick when the trials end. We just get to determine, am I going to face it? Or am I going to fail it? Listen to me, friend. Your life is a series of tests. Pass the test, well done. Fail the test. God's gracious, but there are no do-overs. Only one life. So soon, it's past. Father, help us this morning. By your grace, to pass the test. I'm going to ask three questions, start the invitation, turn it over. Let me ask you about the fear test. Are you speaking up for Jesus? Are you speaking up for Christianity where you work, the school you go to? Are you a witness at the plant? Are you a witness at the office? Are you a witness at school? Are you speaking up on behalf of Christ, or are you failing the fear test? Listen to me, friend. Now's the time to stand up for what we believe in. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Don't make your decisions based on fear. Some of you are so afraid to speak up for Christ in front of your family. Speak up, Christian. Don't be afraid. When you step out in faith and you conquer fear, the Lord works in your life. Some of you need wisdom from God right now. Are you willing to stay on your face? You say, man, I really need God to show me what to do next. Isn't it amazing how quickly we move from God's will to our will? Well, God didn't show me, so here's what I think I'll do. Maybe God would have showed us if we'd have stayed serious and sober and fasted and prayed. Listen, don't enter into life decisions frivolously. Find the mind of the Lord through fasting and prayer. God has the information. Some of you are perplexed. What do I do with my children? What do I do with my career? What do I do with my Sunday school class? Listen, God knows what to do, but you're going to have to get serious to find out what He knows. Prayer and fasting. And listen to me, friends, who've lived a little while. You're not a spring chicken. You didn't just show up. This ain't your first rodeo. How are you going to finish? I need the gray heads in this room to decide that I am going to be the kind of church member that Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs. The pillars that the preacher can count on. It's not easy for me to serve Christ anymore, but I don't serve Him because it's easy. I serve Him because it's right, and I'm going to finish my course with joy. Father in heaven, bless our invitation. Help our people today to make decisions that change things. Lord, we're so conditioned to come, pray, leave. And I pray that today's decisions will change things. In Jesus' name.